Bhagavad Lila, Dashama Skanda, 10th Canto of Bhagavatam, Brahma Stuti, Chapter 14, Lord Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I offer my humble obeisances and prayers to please you. Your transcendental body is dark blue like new rain clouds, and your garment is brilliantly shining like lightning. Forest flowers and garlands adorn your neck, and you're carrying a cowherding stick and a buffalo horn and flute. You beautifully stand with a morsel of food in your hand. No one can estimate the potency of your transcendental body. How then could I possibly understand the happiness that you experience within yourselves?" Text 3. Jnane prayasam mudapasyanamanteva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam stana istita shutigatam tanumvan manobir ye prayasha jito, ye prayasha jita jito, yasi taistri lokyam. Those remaining situated in their established social positions throw away the process of speculative knowledge. And if they do that, and then with their body, words, and mind, offer all respects to the descriptions of your personality and activities, and dedicate their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, then they can certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. Text 4. Shriya Sritim Bhaktim Udasyate Vibho Lashanti Ye Kevala Bodha Labdaye Teshamaso Kleshala Eva Shishyate Nanyadyata Shtula Tushavagatinam. My Lord, Krishna Bhakti is the best path for self-realization. If one gives up that path and cultivates speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and not achieve his desired result. Just as a person who beats an empty husk of wheat cannot get any grain, one who simply speculates to understand you cannot achieve self-realization. His only gain is trouble. In the course of time, learned philosophers or scientists may become able to count all the atoms of the earth, the snowflakes falling from the sky, the rays of sun, and the numinous stars in the sky. But who could possibly count your unlimited transcendental qualities? Text 8. Tate nukampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapurbir viradannamaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bak. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and continuing to offer you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. My Lord, just see my impudence. I try to test your power by utilizing my own. But what am I compared to you? I am like a small spark in the presence of a great fire. Please excuse my offenses. I was born in passion, and I'm foolish, thinking myself an independent controller. Please consider me your servant, worthy of your compassion. What am I? Insignificant creature enclosed in a pot-like universe, composed of material elements. And what is your glory, my Lord? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body as dust passes through the openings in a window screen. O Lord, does a mother take offense when a child kicks her while sitting in her womb? Is there anything within existence that is outside your abdomen? When all is merged into the water of dissolution, your plenary portion, Orion, lies down on the water. From his navel, a lotus flower grows, and I take birth upon that lotus flower. Thus, am I not born from you? Text 29. Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prasada leshanu grihita evahi chanati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya ekopi chiram vichinvan. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. My Lord, my greatest good fortune would be to take any kind of birth, even as grass, in this forest of Gokul, and have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of the Brijvasis. However, if I am not so fortunate, then I beg to be allowed to take birth as a clump of grass just outside the precincts of Vrindavan. So when the devotees go outside, they will trample over me. My dear Lord, until people become your devotees, their material attachments are like thieves, their homes are like prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members are like shackles. There are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think in that way. But as far as I am concerned, I do not wish to say much about this. O my Lord, let me comment thus. As far as your opulence is concerned, it is far beyond the reach of my mind, body, and words. As long as this universe exists, and as long as the sun shines, I will offer my obeisances unto you. Text 58. Samashrita ye parapalava plavam mahat padam punya yasho morare bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam padam param yad vipadam natesham. My Lord, for those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of your good self, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and who is famous as Murari, then the ocean of material world is like the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. Their goal is param param Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries. They are not going to the place where there is danger at every step. After offering his prayers and taking permission to depart, Brahma circumambulated Sri Krishna 3 times and bowed at his lotus feet. After Brahma left, Krishna took the calves, which were just where they were 1 year ago, and brought them to the bank of the river, where he had been enjoying lunch with his friends. Sanatana Goswami explains that the calves and boys remained in the forest and on the riverbank for 1 full year. Brahma did not actually take away the boys and calves, but by the Lord's illusory energy, the calves and boys did not notice the passing of time, nor did they feel any hunger or thirst. The residents of Vrindavan did not notice them, nor did Lord Brahma. And when Krishna desired, everything regained its former manifestation. After Brahma concluded his stuti, Krishna kept quiet. Though Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, he appeared in Vrindavan and played the role of an innocent young coward boy. Therefore, the Lord was thinking, where did this four-headed Brahma come from? What is he doing here in Vrindavan? I'm busy looking for my calves. What is he talking about? The coward boys then said, oh, Krishna, you have returned so quickly. We hardly ate a morsel of food in your absence. Now please come and have your meal without distraction. While smiling, Krishna finished his lunch with the coward boys. While returning home, Krishna showed them the skin of the dead serpent Agasura. Krishna played his bamboo flute and called his calves by their individual names. Krishna's coward boyfriends purified the whole world by chanting Krishna's glories. Upon reaching Brajagokul, the boys sang, today Krishna saved us by killing a great snake. And although 1 year had passed, the boys thought that Agasura had been killed that very day. Prikshit inquired, how could the elderly gopis develop a greater love for Krishna than their own sons? Sukadeva replied, O king, for every created being, the dearmost thing is his own self. The dearness of everything else, children, wealth, is due only to the near dearness of the self. These things are merely expanded concept of the self. It is seen that a man may sacrifice his life for his family or country, but the fact is that he does this to gratify his egoistic pride. On the other hand, it is often seen that a mother mercilessly kills a child in her womb, or grown-up children place their aged parents in an old age home so they can avoid inconvenience. Sukadeva continued, for persons who think that the body is the self, the things that are important due to their relationship with the body are never as dear as the body itself. Even when the body grows old and useless, one strongly desires to maintain it. The embodied being considers his self to be most dear, and the entire creation is seen as something that can be used for the satisfaction of the self. O King, you should know that Krishna is the original soul of all living entities, and that the living entities are Krishna's fragmental parts and parcels. Mamevam cho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastrani indrani prakriti stani karshati. Out of his causeless mercy, Krishna came to this world as an ordinary human being. Those who know Krishna as he is, they understand that Krishna is Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. And thus there is nothing different from Krishna. Whatever is dear to us is an expansion of Krishna's energy, and thus also Krishna. We should know that every attractive feature that we find in this world is a tiny manifestation of Krishna's glories. At the end of this chapter 14, Shukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva include a Shruti file, text 60. Etat saridbish charitam murare agardhanam shadvala jaymanam cha vyakte tarat rupam ajarva bishtavam shinvan grinan eti naro kilartan. Any person who hears or chants these pastimes that Lord Murari Sri Krishna performed with his coward friends, the pastimes of killing Agasura, and the pastime of taking lunch on the forest grass beside the Yamuna, and Krishna's manifestation of transcendental forms of the coward boys and calves, and the wonderful stutis or prayers of Brahma, such a person is sure to achieve his spiritual desires. Anyone who hears or chants Brahma's comprehensive prayers about Krishna's transcendental form, his playing with the coward boys, the killing of Agasura, and eating with his friends in the forest covered with lush grass, will have all his desires fulfilled. And our only desire is to attain the eternal service of the lotus feet of Radha Govinda Yugal and the Nikunjas of Vrindavan. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Balam Giri Varadari.